was really cool. And there's the bard artificer who's in the corner, like, tinkering with his little box. And he's like, guys, watch this. And then taps it, and it, like, plays a little drum beat. They're like, ugh. This idiot. Like, why are we traveling with them? And when
guys, I got it up to 240 beats per minute.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to listen to that shit.
As they just have fucking, they're spinning poi and fucking lights everywhere. Rave artificer bard.
Welcome to Monsters and Monster Class, your Dungeons and Dragons fix. I'm Kevin Odie.
I'm Jared Bornigle.
I'm Will Meldon.
And we'll be hanging out with you for a while to talk about anything and everything Dungeons & Dragons related. On this episode, we are taking a look at the Artificer Bard multiclass. Music and tech, and I'm stepping on your toes here at this point, Jared. So yeah, let's just dive into it.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've talked about a multiclass, so I'm excited. So the Artificer is a half-caster, uses intelligence as its main stat. They are tinkerers. They are the geniuses of the party, even if it's not specifically focused on the arcane. It's more of the practical effects. So a couple subclasses, armorer, battlesmith, and alchemist, which sucks. Don't touch that. And I'm missing one. Artillerist. There we go. I'm not going to list off all of the bard subclasses because there's a whole bunch. But bards, you know them. They are the charismatic entertainers, the spies, maybe, sometimes. And I don't really know how to classify valor bards beyond just performers, sword performers, and College of Swords. So, what do we think about this multi-class? First thoughts, let's hear them from Will, who said beforehand that he hates this, this is stupid, and it's his least favorite multi-class, which he says before every episode, even when we're not doing a multi-class.
All right, I won't even say it this time. But yeah, we got a mismatch. We get a lot of mismatches. Some of them are okay, some of them are not. I think int charisma mismatch is a particularly unfortunate one. Not that it really, really matters, but I also think that the flavor is going to be interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think this has a lot of flavor opportunities, and I don't immediately hate it. Like, it's not like when we talked about the monk sorcerer, which is one that always just kind of feels weird to me from a flavor perspective. There's some things about. But Kevin, what do you think?
So I really want to like this one because of the flavor. I think you can make a really cool character where, like, a performer, and they're using their artificer skills to make these elaborate, cool musical instruments and crazy pyrotechnic stage shows and crap like that. I think that could all be really cool. Kind of like, yeah, combination of the two. But I think it has way too much working against it. Yeah, both intelligence and charisma needing to be at least 13, and then they're both relying on it. And it's both classes rely on it beyond just spellcasting. So you can't go the old route of like, oh, just only put intelligence to 13 and then forget about it, and any artificer spells don't rely on it. Because artificers have a ton of stuff that relies on intelligence. Each subclass does, like the battlesmith, you could use intelligence for melee attacks. The alchemist adds intelligence to damage and things like that. There's some things related, I think, in your infusions to it. The number of spells you prepare rely on intelligence. Like, it comes up a lot. And then the bard, so they don't have preparation spells, but their number of bardic inspiration relies on charisma. And then there's a bunch of different subclasses that have stuff where it relies on their charisma. You can't just get away from it.
That's fair. One point of clarification, I don't believe that infusions rely on intelligence beyond if there's a saving throw associated with the infusion, or if you die, then it lasts for like a certain amount of hours equal to your intelligence modifier, and that doesn't particularly matter.
No, sure.
But otherwise, you're totally spot on.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, Flash of Genius relies on intelligence. Spell storing item, I think, relies on intelligence.
Right.
Yeah. It just keeps going on and on and on. It's really, really hard to just put that at 13 and leave it. And then same with charisma for bards.
So here is my counterpoint to that. There are a lot of ways with Artificer that you can use intelligence instead of other ability scores and get away with it. For example, the Armorer Artificer means you don't really have to care about strength in any capacity, and you can get a really, really high AC. And that also can mean if you ignore melee, which really between these two you probably are going to, you can also ignore dexterity. So that lets you focus on now two stats mainly, and then the third stat of constitution, which is always important to some extent. I don't think you're going to be feeling it too hard of needing being too mad multi-attribute dependent if you play things correctly. Correctly is not the right way to put that, but if you play it intelligently, which I don't think is going to be impossible.
See, I really disagree on that. I wouldn't say not having to focus on strength being a saving grace, because artificers don't focus on strength,
and or bards dex.
Don't focus on strength. Dex still matters. Dex always matters. It's your initiative. It's very common saving throw. Also, then, like if you specifically mentioned armorer, like if you go to guardian, their thunder gauntlets are simple melee weapons, which is a strength attack.
And you could entirely ignore those. Take just the heavy armor and do the, what's that second one?
The infiltrator.
Yeah, the infiltrator, which isn't as great.
Right, which is a ranged weapon attack, which requires dex.
Okay, that's fair. But even then, you get heavy armor proficiency, something that you can't get from anything else.
Wait, never mind.
Use your intelligence?
You could use your intelligence for both of those.
Okay. I was trying to look into it while talking at the same time.
Right, same.
So, great. So there, yeah, you only need intelligence. You get up to 18, maybe 20 AC, something that's not easy to do as a bard. And something that I think a lot of people, when I say a lot of people, I mean the 5 minutes of research I did on this multi-class beforehand, a lot of things people don't bring up is that the bard does not get many damage cantrips at all. They get, what is it? Is it Dissonant Whispers? Is that the spell? I always mix
Vicious Mockery.
Vicious Mockery. I always mix up that.
And that's really about it.
Yeah. Artificers, on the other hand, get a pretty good amount of damage cantrips. And I feel like that's something that actually does hurt the bards. Now, if you're looking from a totally optimized perspective, there are obviously better classes to multi-class into.
I feel like you're understating that.
There are extremely good classes. I keep saying subclasses.
There is an incredible combination just sitting right there for you to take.
Yes.
One of the best, in fact.
Every class would benefit from a dip into Hexblade Warlock, but that's not what we're here
just
for.
Just any Warlock.
Any Warlock, sure, but Hexblade Warlock specifically.
Sorcerer too.
So I do really think that you could get away with just these two stats, and now you've got better cantrips, you've got better armor, even if you don't do armor. Do bards get medium armor? That's a question. No, they do not. I thought so. Unless you go one of the subclasses like Swords, Valor, and maybe one other that I'm forgetting. So,
I don't think Swords even does, but you do. Never mind.
Perfect.
It's not important.
You don't even get shields proficiencies with Bard. But if you multi-class into Artificer, you get medium armor. You don't slow down your spell slot progression for one level. You're going to slow it down if you go multiple. That's the way it goes. Mm-hmm. And you get some, again, a lot of armor proficiencies that I think are pretty nice. And if you did go the Battlesmith route that gives you your Steel Defender, then you really can just focus, intelligence, and charisma, but then you're really locked into just going Artificer, because that class scales so linearly that if your Steel Defender doesn't get additional health, you're really kind of wasting your time dipping into it.
Right, and then you're also fighting for bonus action of commanding your Steel Defender or giving out a Bardic Inspiration.
Great point.
Thanks, Jared.
Well, I didn't think of that. You're right, though. And that's something that I think is hard enough with the rogue bard you're playing right now. I think there's a lot of times where you're holding on to your bardic inspiration because you're like, well, I need my bonus action to dash or disengage or whatever else to fit this situation. So you kind of hold on to that bardic inspiration a little bit longer than I think you'd like to.
Oh, right. So back on the ability scores. So I know we could get both to like 16.
Mm-hmm.
Where like it, usually we talk in the sense of point buy because that's what we play. And if you're rolling for stats, then it's kind of hard to have a conversation on that. Yeah. In some senses, quite literally. So you have plus three in each, which is really not great for your main casting stat for either. Like there's a really big difference between having three bardic inspirations and five bardic inspirations, or having plus three damage or plus five damage.
Mm-hmm.
To at something. What level? And the same with the saving. I mean, that would be level one. And so then at level four, you could get one up to 18.
That's a normal progression.
Sure, but then the other one's behind. And then you only took... I'm sorry, I guess you'd have to be level... Yeah, level one, you could get to those stats. Then at like, at what point do you multi-class versus... Because then that gets messy too. Your multi-classing usually slows down your ability score improvements and you're in desperate need of them. Because also then your spell attacks and spell saves are taking a pretty big hit.
And that's fair. I think it would really depend on what you plan on leaning into more, Bard or Artificer. This is by no means a class that you can toe the line back and forth and get like a 10-10 build that's going to feel as strong or stronger than a normal level 20 character.
Right.
But I don't think you're going to be so far behind with it that you're going to feel useless by any means. I think that having a little... So the way that I would build it is probably leaning into Bard, going a three-level dip into Artificer, most likely Armorer, because I do think that one's the simplest to go. And this is from a purely optimized standpoint. And I would probably leave the Intelligence at 16 for a good amount of time. And your plus to hit or your saving throw for cantrips isn't going to be as high, but that's kind of a last resort anyways. For the most part, you're going to be casting spells. You're going to be doing other things. Casting spells. It's really just casting spells. But when you do need to cast a cantrip, I think it'd probably be worth it to have maybe only plus three instead of plus four when you're trying to account for whether or not you hit. In most situations, we're talking about a 5% difference, and writing off an entire multi-class because of a 5 to 10% difference just doesn't seem right to me.
I have no problem doing that.
It's that in combination of other things. It's the fact that also then keeping it low, as I said at the beginning, there's a lot that both classes and the subclasses rely on that ability modifier for. It's beyond just spell casting. There's been other multi-classes where you have mismatched spell casting attributes, abilities that we still ultimately kind of liked and, you know, recommended. We don't really recommend, but I'm doing quotes for everyone in the podcast.
I don't recommend
air quotes. Yeah. Because the base class doesn't really use it any other way. So you can kind of get around it where careful what spells you pick, except that you might hit or something land a little bit less, that sort of deal. But like I said, there's a ton, especially for the Artificer that uses intelligence. And I think you're really hurting yourself keeping that lower.
But you're saying with only a three-level dip? Because I don't think there's too much that relies on intelligence for that low of a dip. Beyond the saving throws and prepared spells. Those are the two things, which aren't small.
Yeah, saving throws, attack hits, prepared spells. Yeah, and then like you, most of the third-level abilities you get for whatever subclass you take, it uses it as well. So, like, one of the big things to add to the power of, you mentioned, like, going to Armorer, is the ability to use intelligence in place of strength or dex. Like, mm-hmm. That's factored into what you get. And so you just probably wouldn't be using that.
Don't you have that same issue with dexterity when you're relying on that? Because usually you can't get it much higher than 16 unless you want to ignore charisma for a little while. I feel like bards don't normally have plus 18 or 20 for dex until later levels.
Right, and they're not, their main thing is usually not hitting things with swords. Or, yeah, their main thing is usually casting spells. So if you go Armorer, you're delaying your bard levels by three levels, delaying some other ability being higher because you've got intelligence to 13, to then get the ability to replace dex or strength with intelligence, which probably isn't worth it for you, and then the ability to punch things better or shoot things, you know, with lightning, do a ranged attack more frequently, which is all cool and stuff. Like, if that's just cool for you and it's the way you want to do it, it's fine. But we're talking optimization. It just doesn't seem worth it. You're really delaying bard levels for armor, basically.
Sure. That's fair. Armor. So I will 100% get on the team of, if you are looking for a great bard and the most powerful character, this is more of a hindrance than it is helping. I think that is totally fair to say. I will die on the hill that if you wanted to do this, I don't think it would be so horrible that you're like, wow, I totally screwed up my character and now it's not fun to play. So just making sure we're arguing from the same perspective on this.
Sure.
I do agree. I agree. It's not as good. And going straight bard and finding other ways to increase your armor class are probably a better way to handle it.
Right.
But I am still interested by the fact that you at least get cantrips from this. And I always think it sucks playing a bard and not getting any cantrips. That's like the one thing that hurts me every time.
Yeah, artificers do have access to a lot of cantrips. Unfortunately, they would only have two known at first level, or it's three known at third. So I guess you get one extra. But
sure. I don't know how many you need.
Yeah. Infusions, though, are great. It's always really great to just have, for somebody in the party, have access to infusions. You know, if you only go three levels, it's not going to go up. But yeah, as you said, that's not hindered by low intelligence or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that is just, that's a good option. That's always a boon to yourself or the party.
Right.
No complaints there.
Yeah, and most of them are pretty straight. If you want to go for the straightforward ones, they're just good. Yeah, plus one right. weapon, plus one armor. Even if you're not giving it to yourself, somebody in your party is going to find use from it.
Right, and at third level, you will have, what, four known, and you could use two of them at a time.
Right.
You could switch them out in long rest, so little flexibility there. One thing that we didn't talk about yet that's make this very annoying to play, if you're doing this rules as written, is spellcasting. So artificers, rules as written, have to cast their spells through the artificer spellcasting focus, which must be Tinkerer's Tools or Thieves Tools. Bards cannot use Tinkerer's Tools or Thieves Tools for their spellcasting focus. So usually you could get away around this with like two different spellcasters or different spellcasting focuses of just saying, I just use a component pouch because it's universal and it's just kind of, it's like pretty much the hand wave option in the player handbook of like you generally have the components you need. You don't need to worry about that unless you want to role play it out. And that's that, because
right.
it works for both. That's not the case in this one.
I'm raising my hand for people who can't see. The armorer lets you use the armor as a spellcasting focus.
For artificer spells.
Sure. So you don't have to hold it. And then you just hold your guitar or whatever you use for the bard one. There's no fighting
better.
Between those two.
You literally can use your infused items as an artificer in place of the tools.
Oh, that's true too, can't
you? So you could theoretically create an infused violin or whatever. But that's not really in there. And this is going back to Will's giant book of
multi-classing.
Extremely specific multi-class requirements is we need some way to make a magical electric guitar for the artificer.
Yeah, that's fair. Is there like a infusion?
There are two items. There's 6th level and 14th level Pipes of Haunting and Horn of Blasting, which I would say fall into that category. But they're, you know, far away and they're totally not intended for this purpose.
Right. Yeah, I was trying to look through the replicable items that the artificer gets to see if there's any that like shoot lightning. And I also don't know, for the replicate magic item, you don't touch an item. You pick an item on the table and you make that item. So your DM would have to still be cool and say, oh yeah, you can infuse your loot with that magical property. Which, personally, yes, let that happen.
Oh, hell
that's
yeah.
So cool. Though I still don't see any that are, you know, shoot lightning by any means. So you're not going to get your electric guitar.
Sure. Or I like the idea of just kind of working out. So you're still using like the Thieves' Tools or Tinkerer's Tools. And it's kept really vague of what those are to an artificer, because like they're literally using it to reproduce spell effects. So it's not just like a little booklet of lockpicks or something. There's definitely more to it.
Right.
So it's just kind of this bigger elaborate thing that you could also play as an instrument.
Your lockpick set?
Well, I was going to say that's more than just a lockpick set.
Sure.
The kind of implication here, if you're reproducing spell effects through thieves' tools, it's like, obviously they're saying thieves' tools as a placeholder because it's just like kind of there, but it's, you kind of like get creative of what is it? It's like a little box where you like reconfigure it every morning and now produces 6 different spell effects, that sort of deal.
Right.
And I don't see any reason why you know, just work it out with your DM where you that could also play music. There's like
it's a music box.
Yeah, yeah, different size metal bars and stuff that you can like hit on for percussion or strings in it as well. And so it's kind of this all together thing.
I see. But
raw, it's yeah, unless you go armor, I guess, sure. It's a little
alternatively,
it's limited.
And this is going to be great for your in-character play. You can just buy a mouth harp and say, this is also a lockpick. They're kind of similar in aesthetic, and you can play it at the table all the time.
Do you own a mouth harp? You seem like that type of person.
It's a dream of mine that maybe I'll one day be able to fulfill.
I've got two things on my gifts if I ever buy Will gifts. It's Heelys and a mouth harp, and I will not explain the Heelys.
The Heelys are actually hard because they're out of production. And yes. I have big feet.
And they don't make them for adults, really. Is there much of a reason on the other end here to do like a small dip into Bard? Because I feel like you're going to run into these a lot of these same issues where you're like holding back Artificer and what are you really getting out of Bard? I feel like it's hard to justify a dip into Bard if you're not going to level 5 as it is. Because getting Bardic Inspirations back on a short rest is quite important. And your Bardic Inspiration mm-hmm. die goes up to a D8.
Yeah, 5th level is a good one for Bards. So is 3rd, though. So if you go 3 levels in, you get some more spellcasting. I wouldn't say access to many different spells. Their lists are not that wildly different, best I could tell. So there's not, I don't think there's really anything worth chasing there, but you get some more spell slots too. Your spell progression will go faster.
That's a good point.
You do still get Bardic Inspiration, even though it doesn't come back on a short rest, you still get it. Jack of all trades, which is really great. The half your proficiency bonus added to everything you are not proficient in, including initiative. Song of Rest, a little, whatever. But, you know, it's there. Free D6 when people take a short rest.
Sure.
And then expertise at 3rd level. So double proficiency in 2 skills is really nice. And then whatever Bard College you take. So if you go lore, then you get cutting words. You get bonus proficiency, so 3 new skills. And then cutting words, where that's where you can, as a reaction, use your Bardic Inspiration to lower an enemy's like ability check, attack roll, damage roll, things like that.
Okay, so you actually could get something out of a 3 level dip into it. And I'm sure there's at least some spells that aren't on the Artificer list. I say I'm sure, but I'm guessing there's some spells that aren't on there, seeing as Bards are a little more support focused than Artificers when mm-hmm. it comes to their base spells, just a little bit. I don't know. Artificers are, they're like an in-between state. But I am thinking that with this new College of Spirits Bard, though mechanically this would be awful, that's kind of like another, it'd be like Danny Phantom's parents, which is bringing it back to Danny Phantom. That's a callback from a while ago, but I can't quote an episode for you, but that's what comes to mind to me, is you have somebody who tinkers mechanically and has used those interworkings to find a way to contact the spirits, and that seems worthwhile to me. That's a good class.
Sure, that could be fun.
I strongly disagree, but don't even want to get into it.
That's truly what podcasting's about. So, on your actually intellectual point around Bard not being a terrible tip, I think that getting the expertise and Jack of all trades also does seem pretty fitting with the Artificer. I think there is kind of a savant style to the Artificer that has some flavor overlap with the Bard, and you'd really be able mm-hmm. to show that. And so even out of combat abilities, you're going to have some pretty great tool usage as well as skill abilities out the wazoo. So
yeah, there's I know we always go back and forth about, do we talk about these in a bubble or not, because if you talk about it in comparison to all other multi-classes you can take, Artificer Rogue is probably a much better bet, because you just need dexterity 13, which you're going to be useful anyways.
Sure.
Probably bump up to 14, maybe even 16, go crazy. You're not like screwing up spellcasting or fighting with that with different things, and you're still going to get like expertise.
I feel go ahead if you weren't done.
No, I think that was it. Expertise. Okay. The cunning action, that was that. Yeah, bonus action, dash, disengage, things like that.
So, yeah, that's totally fair. I think if you're going specifically for the skill monkey aspect, then rogue is going to be better. But again, rogues don't get medium armor. Rogues don't get shields. Rogues slow down your spell slot progression even more than Artificer does, which one level into Artificer doesn't. I don't know if you'd really want to do just one level into Artificer, but regardless, it's a bigger slowdown. So yeah. I feel like
no, there's... I was talking Artificer in the Rogue, not Bard in the Rogue.
Oh, Artificer in the Rogue. Interesting.
The only thing that's a little wasted is Sneak Attack. Though,
can you use that with your Gauntlet?
I don't know. This isn't the Artificer Rogue episode, but
did we have that episode already? Because if so, I hope we talked about it, but it might have been before Tasha's, in which case we wouldn't that's have talked true. About yeah. it.
Right. I think the problem was because it's not a finesse.
Well, there's the range one. Yeah, the lightning one for the infiltrator armor. That might trigger sneak attack. I don't
think
know.
That does.
Like I said, that is not something I prepared to talk about, so I don't know off the top of my head.
It's a simple ranged weapon. My gut says yes, and tell us in the comments if you've looked into this and we're wrong. And by the way, make sure to like, subscribe, and ring the bell, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Had to get it in there. Supposed to do it earlier. What about any subclasses for the Bard that are particularly of note? I feel like you mentioned some earlier, like the did you say lore? Because that's always a good one.
Lore is always a good dip, almost for anything.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Almost anything out there. Even when I was saying, just first three levels in Bard is a good dip. And sure. I know I came in to say like, oh, I don't really like this. And then I said, oh, but what about these three? And here's all these really good things you get. That's more of a tribute to Bard than this multi-class. Like, I mean, it's early Bard is really great. You get a lot of really good, useful stuff.
Sure. That's fair. Yeah. I feel like College of Creation could be, from a flavor standpoint, fitting. Not so much from a mechanic standpoint, because I just don't get the point of that subclass. That we did talk about
at length. The first three are okay, though. Like, the motive potential.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
I think they're completely dissonant. They're, like, philosophically on the opposite ends of the spectrum.
There's really creating fair. From the Song of Creation and then creating from Tinkering.
Tinkering, yeah.
What about if you tinkered and you've made a device that taps into the Song of Creation directly and three times a day, because you can only get your charisma up to 16, you can inspire people.
It's terrible.
That's I feel like that's actually pretty good.
I like
good.
That, yeah.
And I feel like in general,
that's and you're inspiring them by like playing the Song of Creation through this device that resonates with it or something, and it touches people.
Yeah. That's
and
honestly,
then you get the motive potential with it, which is cool. So it's like a souped up version. And yeah, I liked it a lot.
I like that more just being grumpy. Than like College of Valor and Swords getting Bardic Inspiration, because that always seems weird to me. Because it's like, how are you inspiring people? I'm throwing my swords around and I'm looking real cool while doing it. Like, okay, that's not helpful.
Right.
I never got that from a flavor perspective. I don't care about mechanics.
College of Eloquence is a good one.
The orator.
Yeah. If you kind of want to go smooth talking about it, because you got like Silver Tongue, where persuasion and deception checks are all minimum of a 10.
That does seem nice
on a roll. And then the Unsettling Words. So as a bonus action, expend Bardic Inspiration. You roll it, and then the next time they make a saving throw before the end of your next turn, that number subtracted from it. I really love ways to lower an enemy's saving throw.
Yeah.
And that could absolutely pair up well with Artificer spells, too. Like, you could do this for yourself, bonus action, do this first, and then cast it. Yeah, it's not a spell. Like, cast an action as a regular spell. And
yeah, just got to find an Artificer spell that target saves. I'm sure there's some. I'm not as familiar with the Artificer spell list as I am every other spell list. Because all I think is, like, it's just the wizards, right? But it's not. There's like just random things not on there.
Right.
And it's a half caster. So you spend all of your time at levels like two, like second and third level spells, which aren't that exciting.
See, but they get fairy fire. That's always worthwhile lowering someone's save.
True. can at least put it on, or you know, lower one person's
save.
There's Heat Metal, which is just a great spell in general, but if they're trying to make a save on it, lower that. It doesn't happen when you cast it, though, which could make it a little weird.
Yeah. Cause, yeah, that does end your next turn.
Actually, as I'm looking through, they don't have a lot of spells that target saves. That's kind of interesting. Revelations we shouldn't be having while recording the podcast, but...
Yeah, well, I didn't think to look to that specific thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's very little. Big B's hand, I think.
Which is fifth level, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not getting that.
Right, I had Catapult, 17th. Yeah.
Which is the best spell in the game.
That targets a save. Yeah. Oh, it's a dex save, isn't it?
Yeah. And then, of course, there's like some cantrips, but I don't think that's worth using on cantrips.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not really... The College of Eloquence is not really going to help your Artificer spells.
Yeah.
It's still good to have, but that's like separate of the multi-class. You could like team it up with other members of the party and things like that, but...
So for a one...
Who haven't stunted their spell progression to this extent. Right.
From a one-level dip into Artificer, you could get, if you were a College of Swords or Valor, you would get... Oh, you already get Medium Armor from one of those, don't you?
Both.
From both? Never mind. This is not worth it. I was going to say you could get Shield Proficiency and Medium Armor Proficiency and a cantrip like Booming Blade from a one-level dip. Which, there's probably feats that might rival that, but never mind, not worth it.
I think, don't bards just get Booming Blade?
I actually, for some reason, thought they didn't. But they get cantrips, so they probably do.
No, they don't.
They don't?
We think that because my bard has it, but that's because he's an Arcane Trickster, and okay. Arcane Tricksters get it.
That makes me feel less crazy, because I had something in the back of my mind that was that people would use magical secrets to get Booming Blade, and that really upset me. So you can have a spell off of any class list. What do you want? Booming Blade. God damn it.
It sounds like a move I'd do.
So that's a way to get the Dissonant Whispers combo, which is you... Booming Blade, and then Dissonant Whispers to get them to run away, which doesn't trigger Booming Blade, rules as written, but then they are far away, and they'd have to move to get close to you, triggering Booming Blade. So, one-level dip, again, probably not the best way to take it. You mentioned, well, we've talked about the Bard Rogue multiclass a million times, separately from the Bard Rogue episode. It's just a fantastic multi-class, and one level dip into Arcane Trickster would also get you that.
Right. Well, three levels in the Rogue, and the one you take is Arcane Trickster, which actually runs in some senses the same ability issues. Like, it's dex to multi-class into Rogue, but Arcane Trickster uses intelligence.
Oh.
But when I'm making that work very well, obviously, but it's an Arcane Trickster. It doesn't rely on intelligence
for
much else other than a couple spells, and I just picked around it.
Yeah, you intentionally chose spells that had no use of intelligence.
Because I have 8 intelligence. Yeah. Minus 1.
It shows.
Yeah.
That's a hit on Embers, not on you.
Thank you.
I will make it very clear when my digs are directed at you.
This is not like a reason to do this, and you could do this without multiclassing into Bard, but I love the imagery of, so the Artillerist Artificer, like their cannons, being like giant speakers.
Ooh.
That do different things. So like the Protector is like playing the
song. Oh, I like this. Different songs for different effects.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if it's Protector, it's playing something that's like, gets people really pumped and like in the game, and like they're, so they get their temp HP and all that. Force Ballast does just this... tunes into this really deep bass note that just sends a shockwave across. I don't know about Flamethrower.
What do you mean?
Pyrotechnics!
The music will literally melt your face off.
Okay, there we go.
That actually works pretty well for Steel Defender as well. Just the idea of having speakers on your little robot dog just makes me happy. I don't think it has. It could also do like the Force Rend and the other stuff.
No,
from
go. You have to go way farther than that. You got to be like, this is my Steel Defender is a beatboxing orangutan.
Yes, that's so sick. I was actually thinking, you mentioned this earlier, Kevin, the ability to, not ability, the flavor aspect of them putting on a show with their artificer stuff. And artificers specifically at first level get that magical tinkering, which is generally pretty worthless. And this isn't going to change your mind on that at all, but you can tap it to emit a recorded message that can be heard from 10 feet away, and you could totally use that as a drum track. So you just like pre-record a drum track, and then you could just like, yeah, keep it going, and one man band it. So that's
it can't be more than 6 seconds long.
That's all you need.
I assume you can loop it. Yeah.
Okay. It's, yeah. And you literally just put it on your foot, so you just keep tapping it every six seconds or something.
Okay.
Well, that was my initial thought with his multi-class. It's just like a bard who's way too into his effects pedals.
Yes.
Yeah. And all this is great and flavorful, and I love it. But you don't have to dip into a bard to do this. You could just be an artificer who does this stuff.
No, the thing is, it's great. But it works so much better outside of the game known as Dungeons and Dragons.
Sure.
If you write a comic about this guy, it'd probably be hilarious.
I still will stand by that if you're like actually playing a character, you're playing an artificer, and maybe they start to get interested in music, then you're like, okay, I'll take a 3-level dip into Bard and kind of reflect that with the mechanics. That was a worthwhile dip, and maybe it made your character more fun to you and let you play up the musical aspect more as well. Great, that's a win. Or if you're the bard and you get super into putting on these elaborate shows, and so you want to dive into the more technical nature of things, great, you've built up your character and made it more special to you. And I don't think you've just like shoved it in the garbage and destroyed whatever build you had.
Maybe. If this was not a planned out thing, what are the chances are the stats going to be high enough?
100%. I always put intelligence up. It's not a dump stat at all.
Uh-huh. So what if you're the artificer, then you're going to get charisma up there too?
Super charismatic.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. Most likely that's where these stats will not work out.
Yeah, I like the idea of that kind of natural progression of multiclassing and all that, but there is a pretty big barrier of the ability score improvements. It kind of, that would have been a good answer with, back in our 100th episode, we were talking about fixing multiclassing and 6th edition stuff, and like a different way to add a barrier to multiclass. It's not ability score improvements, because it really does take away this kind of natural flow of like, oh, this thing progressed in the story, so now I'm going to multiclass. And to hear, it's like, nah, my ability scores aren't there, because why would they be? Just a better way to handle it. I don't know how. I don't have an answer, but
I do. Feats. It's kind of there already. There's like the feats that let you replicate a single piece of that class, and it seems like that would probably handle it enough.
Just beef those up a bit.
Or something along those lines, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. No, you're right. Naturally, this most likely won't happen unless you do roll for stats, which, as we said, is hard to have a formal discussion around. But if you find yourself with 14 intelligence with your bard, and you have a good reason to go into artificer, maybe you throw your next ASI in there because your charisma was already 18, and you're like, how many ability score increases do I need? I can put this into artificer. You know, the one thing that I will point out as an example here that's very near and dear to our hearts is our resident warlock Eldritch Knight, who had 12 charisma when they started this campaign and is now at 14, maybe 16 charisma with their warlock, and I think it's like 7 Eldritch Knight and 6 warlock now. And I've never felt like, yes, they've been bad. They've been held back in comparison, but I've never felt like, wow, what a drain on the party as a whole. Maybe you guys have, but you're on the other side.
A little bit. He misses a lot.
He does. I think that's more from his choice of what he does and when he does it, though, more than the dice rolls. But sure. That's I'm curious now to see.
So even though we were both kind of laughing about this, saying, oh, maybe he's a little detriment of the party, we don't hate, at least I don't hate having him around.
Sure.
Like, because it's fine. Like, he's fine. Like, he's fun to play with. The character's interesting. You just balance encounters a little differently. Like, it's okay.
Right.
But we're kind of here talking about, you know, optimization builds a little bit. And it's like, all right, different conversations.
To some extent, with how absurd you guys can be, I almost need that. I'll take one character who's right? who's not fantastic. Let me pull it back a little bit.
Right.
My opinion of, like, optimized characters is literally probably the opposite of, like, 90% of the people who listen to D&D podcasts, in that I do not care at all. I think it's the least important aspect to the game. But I still come on here to complain about it.
Yeah, that is funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I 100% agree, because I feel like from a DM's perspective, I can adjust balance as needed. And if somebody's character isn't specifically as good, unless it affects me targeting them, because I feel like if I target them, it'll be a detriment to the party. Usually them missing or not getting their spells to take it's not ruining anything. It's really not. It's usually just, as long as they're having fun with it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's the thing. So, and I would imagine, again, we're kind of guessing on our audience here. I would imagine most people who take the time to listen to an hour plus D&D podcast every week, they care at least a little bit about it. I do. Like, I love role-playing, and I want to make sure, like, I have in-depth characters. I will make decisions for role-playing reasons that hurt me mechanically.
Yes.
But if I feel like I am, like, seriously falling behind the rest of the party, I will be bothered. I won't like the character.
I agree.
Like, I need to. I don't need to be the best. I don't need to be, like, the main character blowing everyone away, but I need to be comparable. Otherwise, it just bothers me. It's just how I'm built. It's how I like to play games. It's how I have fun with it.
No, I think that's a very fair perspective. It just depends on the person. The only thing that I will say that I don't like is if you were saying that, like, you're bothered by other people at the party, like, not keeping up. You know, because, like, oh, they're having fun, but they're holding us back. They're not keeping us up. We'd be fighting greater demons at this level if it wasn't for them. And it's like, but I'm not throwing greater demons at you because it doesn't matter, you know, and you get your moment to shine because, yes, you're strong mechanically and they're still having fun because they're having fun and they're not obsessed over everyone else's character shining or not shining in combat.
Right. I think the only situation where I would be upset by somebody, like, bringing somebody mechanically suboptimal is if there was, like, a talk before. It's like, all right, this is going to be really deadly. And the DM saying, I have all these, like, really strong, cool monsters I want to throw at you and really go push you guys mechanically and tactically. Yeah, tactically, and see what you could really do. And then someone shows up with a bard artificer.
Right.
Because, like, oh, I wanted speakers on my steel dog. And it's like, all right. I mean, that's not what we talked about.
Yeah.
We talked about the beatboxing orangutan.
That's true. We did talk about that. At least show up with beatboxing orangutan.
Yes.
No, I think that's
counterpoint to that. Entire counterpoint to that. If you are the guy who is bothered by that, first get over it a little bit. And then roll a grouchy old battle master and loop that into your character.
If you know beforehand, sure. But if right. you just show up day one and they're like, hey, I made this garbage character, maybe I think it's, to me, it still becomes part of the roleplay. And it's impossible for it not to become part of the roleplay, where it becomes the elephant in the room. Where everyone, all of these people are together and they just go, hey, we're really freaking strong. That was pretty awesome what you did in that last fight. Remember when you ripped off the giant's head and, you know, threw it at his goblin companion? That was really cool. And there's the bard artificer who's in the corner, like, tinkering with his little box. And he's like, guys, watch this. And then taps it and it, like, plays a little drum beat. They're like, ugh. This idiot, like, why are we traveling with them? And when
guys, I got it up to 240 beats per minute.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to listen to that shit.
As they just have fucking, they're spinning poi and fucking lights everywhere. Rave Artificer Bard. Yeah, but then the party, maybe when that character goes down, maybe they all look at each other and just go, that he's not worth it. They're literally not worth it. Or maybe they learn that they are worth it because friendship and yada yada yada. But the point is, if as long yeah. as to me the person there who is the less optimized and the anchor of this party is like happy to go along with that and to kind of play the heel, then that's a good dynamic too. Like, you can always mm-hmm. pull a good dynamic out of it as long as everybody is upfront about it. When there's like, when those conversations aren't happening in character and they're happening away from the table and everyone goes, why does Greg keep showing up with these garbage characters and expecting us to facilitate him and revive him and drink all the potions and whatever? Yeah, okay, it's a problem.
Oh, right. Yeah, and one more point on it about you could say you could always rebalance encounters around it. There does get a point where you can't. Like, if they are so bad where they're just like everyone else is at this power level and you could throw these challenge rating 10 monsters, but challenge rating 10 monsters is going to one shot this person who took a level in every single class. You know, it's like, okay, it is getting a little problematic at that point.
Sure. That's an extreme example, but we did have, when you were all level 10, I don't remember the levels that we threw out there, but we had a character in our game who was severely underleveled, and I felt like everybody agreed to it. I think I asked you guys beforehand. I hope I did. Mm-hmm. And it became part of the narrative that, hey, we need to protect them because they're much weaker than us. And that's true. I think, yeah, kind of helped again, it was part of the dynamic. It wasn't meant as a detriment to the party beyond the challenge I was already giving you from putting demons and whatever else at you.
Right.
There's also a light at the end of that tunnel, though, because the progression is linear. We can see it. We've all gone through it. Once you've taken your like third different multi-class, it's just like you're going down the wrong path.
Yeah.
Dark place.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. So that could be a justification for people who are taking the multi-classes, maybe not a 3 or 4 dip multi-class, but the multi-class that doesn't come online until 9th level, where you like kind of make that, again, as part of the dynamic. Like, hey guys, I'm going to struggle a little bit until I get to this point, but I want that to be part of my character. So don't be afraid to like call that out in game or whatever. I think it'll make things better.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play some D&D.
Right.
I'm tired of talking
soon
about it.
2 days.
We're recording at night, so like it's not the weekend where I'm used to not playing D&D. This is like D&D hours.
Right.
All right. I have only one more thing to add, and that is that you all should check out our affiliates, Bardley.
No, I have an actual real thing.
Oh.
Well, okay. It's like, it's kind of, it's still somewhat of a joke, but the portmanteau. Way early on, we declared that we're going to come up with a terrible like portmanteau, a combination of the different classes for every multi-class we do. Just like our most famous, the one we like the best is the Polurderer. So instead of like doing Source It In, they're the Polurderer. And then we gave up on that like 2 months into it.
Not all
of them
are
fun. Talked about it for 2 years. Yeah, but I can't have a good one for Artificer Bard. The Artifard.
That's pretty fucking bad, man.
Yeah, I know, right? It's terrible. I know Bardificer's right there on the table, but again, that's too easy. So, the Artifard.
No, you have to add the sorcerer level, so you're the Artifarder.
The Bardifard?
I get, yeah. I mean, you're double dipping on Bard there, the ARD.
That's true.
Yeah, I feel like that like goes against the spirit of the rules we didn't make for this, but
that, like, how do you mash up the words? I just steal one letter from one of the words.
Does that go into our big multi-classing book? Is how to properly make a portmanteau of these multi-class names?
Mm-hmm. 97 pages of formal logic.
Because once you get to like 3, it can get really confusing what you call it. But you gotta right. think of a name, like the Fight Arterer. That's a fighter, artificer, sorcerer. Fight Arterer. Yeah, this is stupid.
Yeah.
This is why we stopped doing it.
I know. I mean, I was sitting here trying to think of like another good one. I'm completely blanking.
You just have to.
Art of Fire just came to me.
Yeah, just pick three classes and then just let your mind wander. You just speak. Right,
let's look at the list of classes.
Oh my god, you're doing it.
Roguelord.
Which is
Roguelord.
This is why we stopped.
Warlock with lizard. Wizard.
The fabled 14th class, the lizard. At level 1, its tongue can lick its eye.
Anyways, I think you're going to talk about Bardley.
I was, but they're dropping their sponsorship of us. Yes, so any Bard episode, we have to bring up Bardley, because what is a Bard without their music? And as a Dungeon Master, what are you without your music? Which is actually a really bold statement. Some people don't use music when they play, and that's really weird to me. But if you are a person like me who uses music while they DM and doesn't want the person who keeps playing Blink-182 because this song is like totally relevant to the situation and actually care about verisimilitude, I can recommend to you Bardley.io above all. It's better than your YouTube playlist. It's better than your Spotify playlist, because Bardley allows you to choose situations and match tension for those situations to give you a perfectly, professionally crafted soundscape for your game. So check out Bardley.io and use the code MNM50 to get 50% off a 3-month subscription, and tell all of your friends that Monsters and Multiclass sent you.
That's what the code's for, yeah.
Yeah. But also share it with your friends. Disseminate the information. And lastly, thank you, as usual, to our patron list, which I don't know how we'll handle this, because I do want to say it. Maybe it'll scroll up now. Maybe. That'll be tough, wouldn't it? I don't know how effects work. I don't do video editing. So thank you, Edgy, Home Bakery, Adam A, Star Shinobi, Sentinel D20, Isaac M, Vincent M, Joe P, Jeff W, and Bob, who needs no last name, because we all know Bob. That's it. That's the episode.
Cool. Thanks for watching.